You're listening to Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival with me, Andrew Haunt. I used to write for Power Play Rock and Metal magazine here in the UK and a bunch of other places. I've done comics, movies, novels, books, one novel, but lots of other books and a bunch of other stuff, and I hate being bored. I've really missed doing the music journalism stuff that I did for Power Play, where I used to interview rock stars and review albums. So that's what this show is all about. I talk about music. I talk about albums from the rock and metal eras. Sorry, from the rock and metal genres, mainly from the 80s and 90s, but I am going to do some from beyond that today. Sometimes it's classic albums, sometimes it's obscure albums, and there's no way you could call today's albums obscure at all. There's just no chance of that. They aren't. They're some of the biggest albums that have been released in rock and metal in decades. So I'm going to talk about first Linkin Park's debut album, Hybrid Theory. Now, this came out in October 2000. It was supposedly the back end of the new metal era, but they ushered in an entire new part of that whole era with this very powerful album that holds up remarkably well today, 22 years later. Well, 21 and a bit. I refuse to say 22 years ago for this yet. It's crazy. Hybrid Theory, there's no two ways about it. It was a massive hit at the time, and it's still selling today. There's been a fantastic anniversary edition of it out in more recent times. But the original for me, it just conjures up a lot of memories. Back when this came out, back end of 2000, I was going through a very, very turbulent time of my life. It was the early part of my 20s, and man, my 20s were a mess. I loved my 30s, and my 40s are pretty good so far, but my 20s were all over the place, mate. They were not good. They were not good in many ways, but I did manage to have a lot of fun at gigs and clubs. I managed to make some really good friends along the way during my 20s, many of which have stuck with me to this day, and I'm really grateful for that. That's a lovely thing about it. But I remember the first hearing Linkin Park when I was working in a comic shop. And I'd been putting on a load of old rock and metal and stuff like that, and I'd really lost touch with what was big at the time, just with all the turbulent things going on in my life. I was about 3 years out of date with what was going on in rock and metal. And one of my young colleagues, who, incidentally, many of you who went to the Corporation Rock Club in Sheffield, when it was still more of a rock and metal club, this young man grew up to be known as Bruce the Doorman, but I knew him under a different name. But he was an awesome, awesome person, one of the nicest people you could possibly imagine. And he asked if he could put this album on the stereo. And I remember distinctly saying, "It's not got any swearing on it, has it? Because if you've got swearing on it, it'll come in for hassle." Because we'd found that out before with various other things where people had been putting hardcore rap on, and or the incidents where I'd put on Physicist by Devin Townsend, not realizing that it wasn't going to be like Ocean Machine or Infinity. I didn't quite realize that at the time. It was more akin to Strapping Young Lad. So that went down well in a retail environment, I can tell you. But anyway, yes, he put on Linkin Park. He put on Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park, the debut album, as the cover of my copy here. And of course, the first thing that comes on is Paper Cup. He assured me that there wasn't any swearing. He assured me it wasn't too extreme, but it was a damn fine album. I thought, all right, we'll give it a go. And as soon as Paper Cup started, I was drawn in. You know, you've got those rhythms, you've got the elements of hip-hop and electronica there. You've got those massive new metal riffs, and you've got the dual vocals of Chester Bennington and Mike there. There's just so much to love about that song. It doesn't take any it wastes no time in getting started. It wastes no time in getting to the point. One of the things I really like about early Linkin Park is that they would get to the point quickly with songs. There wasn't an endless build-up. There was a payoff when you needed a payoff. These songs were perfect for a dance floor. And this album is absolutely packed with tunes that I heard on the dance floor. So let's see. After Paper Cut, there's One Step Closer, the big single. I can't I can't imagine not knowing that song. It's weird. I loved that song so much. It was a really powerful tune, and to this day, the last half of it, you know, where there's the breakdown of shut up when I'm talking to you. I've got to stop singing on this show. It's not a good thing. I'm a guitar player. I'm not a singer. So when that comes in, I just can't help but want to just let all the rage and frustration out. And that's what I did many times with that song in rock clubs, in rock clubs around Sheffield when it came out. There were so many frustrations going on in my life with home life, my work life, family. Everything was just kind of going a bit tits up, if you'll pardon the expression. And it helped me get a lot of frustrations out. In a similar way, I would say, to Killing in the Name by Rage Against the Machine. It's that sort of release. So I would put it on like a perfect rock disco with something like Killing in the Name of Davidian by Machine Head, which is just perfect to this day. One Step Closer by Linkin Park. Okay, so after that single, it's followed by With You, which has another nasty-ass riff, a good, powerful, chunky, new metal riff to it, infectious groove to it, infectious chorus, and it's sort of like, by this time, with Papercut, One Step Closer, and With You, you've sort of got the blueprint of Linkin Park and what they're trying to do with Hybrid Theory, and it worked so well. I could totally see why it was such a big album and turned into such an influential piece of rock and metal history. So after that is Points of Authority, which is a personal favourite from this album. I do really like the Jay Gordon remix of it with the now slightly dodgy CG music video. Do check that out. It's got kind of a nice sort of PS2 cutscene feel to it, but I do love this song. It's got that really nice staccato rhythm to it, and it's one of the examples of where hip hop and electronica and alternative music mixed very, very well with rock and metal. It's not something that I was entirely floored with when more alternative stars came up, as is well documented on this show. I liked my Big Hair bands and all that sort of thing, and my old trad metal bands, and I always will. But this did feel like a breath of fresh air, much more so than the grunge bands had to me personally, and stuff that had happened in the middle of the 90s. Once new metal came out, it felt more something I could get into. If nothing else, it meant I didn't have to dance very well because I'm a terrible dancer. So the new metal shuffle, or the bobbing up and down new metal dance, if you had big trousers and a baggy t-shirt, you were set. And this album was absolutely essential to go with it. So, of course, after Points of Authority, that is followed by Crawling, which is another really iconic Linkin Park moment. It's amazing to think of one, a debut album that has quite so many iconic songs on it, that are just so memorable, so evocative of a time and a place in your life. I mean, even now I can just think back and I can see faces, I can see friends I haven't seen in years, I can see situations I was in. Oh God, I sort of wish I couldn't, because they weren't really that pretty. So after Crawling was Runaway and By Myself. Again, great songs, but not quite of the caliber of the single releases. That's followed by In the End. And In the End is a genuinely iconic piece of music. And it's made ever more poignant since the loss of Chester Bennington a few years ago. And it's still a very moving piece of music. Place in My Head, Forgotten, Cure for the Itch, and Pushing Me Away round out the album very nicely. Pushing Me Away is a great closing track because it kind of sums up, like all the best albums, I think, the final track needs to sort of sum up everything you've already heard and bring it all back as sort of a greatest hits package of itself. And it does it in fine style. But yeah, Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park, it really doesn't get much better than that in terms of debuts. And the impact this had on not only rock music, alternative music, but just music, was profound at the time, and it still remains an influential piece of music history here and now. Which brings me to an album that came out later than that, came out a year later, I believe. I think it was 2001. Let me go and check my copious amounts of notes over here. She says, Toxicity by System of a Down, which was released in September 2001. And here's another album that really changed the landscape. And it moved things on. It felt like it had moved things on. This was System of a Down's second album. Their first album was self-titled, and it had all kinds of things on it that was that had a big impact. But I think it was Toxicity that had much more of a profound impact in terms of System of a Down's career and in terms of its effect on the modern rock music scene at the time. So again, it was still the back end of new metal. Limp Bizkit were huge, that sort of thing. Korn were riding high with albums like Follow the Leader and Issues. And it was an era of large trousers, of wallet chains, of questionable slogans on t-shirts, of baseball caps, of jewellery that I never really got because I never really got the jewellery thing. Plus, I was always worried it was going to hit me in the teeth if I was on a dance floor or in a mosh pit. But you know, I bought into a lot of the new metal era. I bought into a lot of the trappings of that. And it was fun at the time. It's easy to make fun of it now. It is very easy to make fun of that whole scene now and that whole era. Just because of it looks, if you look back, you don't get the same context of where those fashions had come from. You know, the combination of the skate scenes and the alternative scenes and the underground hip-hop scenes moving together with a harder version of metal and bits of hardcore and all kinds of things like that. It was the melting pot of all the things that happened there is not really visible with hindsight because we're not living in that moment, so we didn't see all the steps it took to get to that. We just see the end product of the massive jeans, the ludicrous wallet chains, and people doing their hair like Coal Chamber. But this was an important album, and still, again, like Hybrid Theory, remains influential and powerful and very important today. So Toxicity by System of a Down, it kicks off with Prison Song, which has that wonderful sort of bait and switch opening where it goes, dun, and then a load of silence. And then it comes in again like a frigging sledgehammer. Dun, 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 dun. I sound like Beavis when I do that. Oh my God, I sound like Beavis. I don't want to sound like Beavis. It's bad enough looking like this. I don't want to sound like Beavis. Jesus. So yeah, Prison Song. It's furious and it's frenetic and it's heavy as hell. And it has that wonderful Armenian and Greek feel to it that System of a Down brought to the table. That is, the stuff that System of a Down did had not been heard before in commercial mainstream rock and metal albums. It had not been done, it hadn't been heard of, and people just weren't aware that music like that even existed. The things that Serge Tankian was doing with his voice were just glorious. The melodies, those wonderful Armenian style melodies with his wonderful accent, it's so evocative of something more exotic, something different, and something new. And that is very much what the rock scene needed at the time, was something new and exciting. You know, things were getting old with new metal. Old with new metal? That's kind of an oxymoron. But, you know, we needed something new. We needed something exciting. And Toxicity really brought those goods home. So after Prison Song, the album continued with Needles, which, you know, amazing song, as was Deer Dance and Jet Pilot and X. But then you get to track 6 and you get Chop Suey. And that is one of those rock songs that has transcended the scene. It's transcended the album it came from. It's transcended the band. It's become, you know, it's become the basis of thousands of memes and jokes and videos and cover versions and references throughout popular culture for many years now. And even though there's all those memes and little one-liners about this and the little the photos of the memes of like Serge trying to do the wake up, imagine putting on a little makeup, I can't do it that fast, doing that, and you know, the various versions of those lyrics, even though all those exist, it still never gets old hearing this song. This was a glorious thing to hear on a dance floor. You know, sweaty rock club, it's way past midnight, so you're into the golden hours of a rock club. You know, there's the build-up at the start, then you've got the really solid chunk in the middle where all the big stuff gets played, and then towards the end, everyone's too drunk to really care what gets played. So that's when you get, like, Rick Astley. I don't know, I've been in many rock clubs where they played Rick Astley at the end of the night, I must admit that. So, after Chop Suey, what can you follow that with? It was followed with Bounce, which was like a minute and 54 seconds of just insanity. And that was the perfect follow-up to that. I mean, sometimes I wish they'd played those back-to-back so that with Chop Suey, you'd have that wonderful acoustic intro that draws you in with the huge, bouncy guitars that go with the rest of the song. And then Bounce, which is just mental in the best way. And something I did find with Bounce was that it was a really good way to fill up a couple of spare minutes on a compilation, of course, starting with mixtapes and then mixed CDs that I used to play in the comic shop and things like that. Bounce, because it's under 2 minutes, it's great for filling up space on discs. I think that is a lost art form, making a good mixed CD. But, you know, I'm always hopeful that things like that will come back again. So that was followed by Forest and Atwa, Science and Shimmy. They are all powerful songs with unique melodies, a very, very heavy production, some interesting use of off-kilter guitar techniques. So not just, you know, melodies and riffs, there's lots of scrapes and scratches and little palm muting tricks going on there that are just interesting to listen to. They're interesting to listen to. It's different. It takes you out of what is the accepted norm with a lot of these things, and it just brings you into the System of a Down mindset, and that was awesome. So that the album continued with the title track, which was released as a single after Chop Suey, but that doesn't quite have the same impact as Chop Suey itself, but it's still a phenomenally powerful rock song. It's got an infectious groove. I keep mentioning infectious grooves. I may have to cover infectious grooves at some point and some suicidal tendencies, because they were awesome. But that's as an aside. The groove is everything in this. It gets you jumping. It gets you thrashing around. It gets you moshing. And it gets those frustrations out while having a genuine message. And, of course, all topped off with Serge's voice. And it's just a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing that is often quite nuts as well. So that is followed by Psycho. It's okay. It's because of what Psycho is sandwiched between. It's sandwiched between Toxicity on one side and then Aerials on the other. You know, it's in too good a company. You're kind of spoiled with the riches on offer there. The album ends with Aerials. And if you just hear the intro to Aerials, just the clean guitar intro to Aerials, you know you need to pay attention to it. And you know you need to sing along. It's one to sing along at the top of your voice, in the car, or if you're running out somewhere, or if you're in the house on your own, make sure it's on your own, because anyone but Serge can't really sound like Serge. But you can do your best. You might as well do your best. But these two albums together, there are a few others from around the time that were quite as important as these, but I think these are very much evocative of a certain time and place in my life, in the lives of others and the lives of friends. A lot of things happened in that era. Not all of them I want to really remember, because a lot of them were difficult to live through. There was good and bad, as there is with every era, but my 20s were screwed up, man. But these albums got me through some bad times, and that's what all the best albums do. They are solace. They are a place to be when you need to be somewhere other than where you are. They are a safe space. Even with hyper-violent music, even with the most extreme metal possible, it's possible to get lost in the atmosphere of it. It's possible to get lost in anything that you're listening to if it's of high enough quality. And these two albums really, really are. They are, I would genuinely say, these are masterpieces of their era. And I still listen to them. I think I listen to Hybrid Theory more than Toxicity, but that's mainly because I personally prefer the vocal aspects of Linkin Park and the way they were structured songs. Although, having said that, I am often in the mood for a bit of Chop Suey. And the song. That was a really bad joke to end on. But anyway, that sums up this episode of Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival. I'm Andrew Haunt, the guy that does all the talking, and I really appreciate you listening or watching. You may be watching on Twitch or YouTube, and I really appreciate you spending the time with me and letting me talk about music, because I really miss doing it, because music is important and music is valuable, as are the albums that you love dearly as well. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of my Rock Revival.